Well, it is Trinity Sunday, so that means we're going to be talking about eggs and clovers and clouds. Why eggs, clovers, and clouds? Well, of course, because they are maybe overused representations of Trinity. The egg is, of course, because it has three parts, the shell, the yolk, and the white. Of course, egg has four parts because there's also a membrane, but forget about that for today. And then the three-leaf clover was famously used by St. Patrick, for whom we celebrate St. Patrick's Day. So if you are wearing a four-leaf clover on St. Patrick's Day, you are doing it wrong. It is a three-leaf clover. And famously, he was the patron saint of Ireland. And when he came to Ireland and preached to all those pagans and Celts, he had to give them an image of the Trinity. And there were these clovers everywhere. And he said, oh, the Trinity is like a clover. There's three parts, but it is one plant. And the cloud is because water can take three forms, as you know, solid, liquid, and gas. And all three of these forms can be present in a cloud, in water vapor, rain, and snow or ice. But when I was a kid and people would be using these illustrations, trying to help us kids understand the Trinity, there was one thing that always came to my mind. Voltron. Now, if you have Gen X kids, you might remember Voltron. Or if you're an anime fan, you might know Voltron. And the cool thing about Voltron to me when I was a kid was the toys, because it was five different lions. And you had to buy them separately. But if you bought all five, you could combine them into one giant robot. And it was like this tall. It was an immense robot. And it was so cool. I remember it was one of those envious things. And I thought, why don't they talk about the Trinity like Voltron? You got God, who is the core, the center of the robot, and then you've got Jesus, which obviously are the legs of Voltron, planted firmly in the earth, and then you've got the arms, which are the spirit, reaching out into the world, doing all of the work of God. I think it's the perfect metaphor. And no, they never used it. And ever since then, I said, if I ever preach on the Trinity, I'm going to bring up Voltron. So there you have it. But the thing about Voltron and the egg and the clover and the cloud is that they all fall short, because we always kind of fall short when we're trying to describe God. And when we're trying to describe a concept as complex as the Trinity, we're just going to come short, because everything is just a reaching out to something that is unattainable for our minds to grasp. But today, I'm going to invite us to try a different route and look at the Trinity as what has been, what is, and what will be. What has been, what is, and what will be. And we're going to go into our scripture today as sort of a guide. This scripture that Kim read for us from the end of Matthew. And it starts, Jesus is telling them to go to this mountaintop. And remember, mountains are always really important places in the Bible. Whenever something takes place up on a mountain, that means pay attention. God is there. Think of Moses and the Ten Commandments, the Transfiguration. So they're up on a mountaintop, and Jesus came to them and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What does that mean? All authority has been given to me. Well, it's actually a reference. It's a reference to the book of Daniel. Now, you remember Daniel back in the Old Testament, vegetarian, hung out with lions, that Daniel. Well, after all of the temple stories in the early parts of Daniel, the book of Daniel takes a real weird turn. And Daniel starts having these really bizarre dreams and trying to interpret them. And it's a lot of kind of apocalyptic imagery and all kinds of strange things. But he also uses this language in one of his visions about the Son of Man. the Son of Man. In Daniel 7:13 it says, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Then said, all authority shall be given to him. So when Jesus is saying this, he's very knowledgeably talking about Daniel. And it's with Jesus, there is a reimagination of this book of Daniel. Because when Daniel had said it, it had always been interpreted as something very militaristic. That there would be a kingdom that would come and would overthrow all the kingdoms and would rule this earth in sort of a military way. But when Jesus came, he came to sort of reinterpret what that meant. And so, though the authority has been given to Jesus, the authority was not given to rule the way that, say, Caesar ruled, but to create justice and freedom, to create liberation from the sin of selfishness and corruption, to give people a new way to see the world, a new way to live. And it's important to remind you to look at this verse and see that given is very clearly in a past tense. And in the Greek, it's distinctive in that it is, has already been given. It is something that Jesus has possessed at that time. It's already been done. And so Jesus is speaking post-resurrection, but one way to interpret that, the way I believe to interpret it, is that Jesus had this authority the whole time. That coming to earth, Jesus was given this authority by God. And I think that Matthew agrees with me. Because if you read through Matthew, remember back in Advent we went through, we talked about the birth of Jesus. And in Matthew there was all these kingly elements. It's Matthew that has the Magi come from the east and say, we've seen the star, where is this new king of Israel? He was hunted like a baby in Matthew. That was when Herod put out to kill all of the young children. That was just the same thing that happened to Moses. And like Moses, he fled with his family. Also, like Moses, he goes up to a mountaintop and gets instruction. Remember when Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount? It's reflective of Moses getting the law for the people on the Mount. So there's clearly this authority that Jesus has all throughout the book of Matthew. An authority gives Jesus the authority. And what Jesus does with this authority is give instruction. So this authority leads to instruction. And so Jesus can do anything with this authority, right? But giving as an example, he gives up this authority. Or he uses this authority to be instructive, to make himself a servant. The king acts like a servant throughout Matthew. If you remember the instruction that he gave on the Sermon on the Mount, this is from our sermon about the Beatitudes. And all of the Beatitudes, they don't praise the powerful, they lift up the lowly. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the mournful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who seek virtue. The instruction of Jesus is not to gain more and more power, to take power away from the weakest. That was Rome's intention. The instruction of Jesus is to give power away, to give it to those who need it most. To care for the least. Later, Jesus will talk about in Matthew 25, when he comes to judge, he will say, blessed are you because I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I needed clothes. You clothed me. I needed visiting. You visited me. And the people said, when do we do all this? And he said, whatever you do to the least of these, you do for me. So with authority, Jesus gives instruction and he tells his disciples, when you teach others, teach them to obey everything that I commanded. When Jesus says that he tells them to go and make disciples, what the word disciple, we often equate it to follower. And when we think of follower, we might think of someone who's maybe a little brainwashed, mindlessly just following along, robotically, automaton. But the root of disciple actually means teach. So when he says go make disciples, he's not saying go make robots. He's saying go make learners. Go find people who are willing to learn. Go teach them so that they can teach others. And where does Jesus send these people? To the important people? To Galilee, to the Jewish people, to Rome, yes, everywhere, to everyone. Go and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. Go to the ends of the earth, in other words. What started out as something, a small movement in Galilee that moved throughout the Jewish faith becomes something that is universal. We talked about this last week when we talked about Pentecost and how the disciples became blessed by being able to speak in every language as a symbol that this message was not confined to a small group of people anymore. This message, this instruction that Jesus had is for everyone. And so every single time we exclude someone, and this has been done throughout history because they weren't the right color, or didn't think the same way that we do, love the same way that we do, have the same political beliefs, have the same cultural beliefs, that they were somehow wrong for that message. It's not what Jesus says. He says all nations. In order for this message to be effective, it must be diverse. So what does this all have to do with the Trinity? After all, it's Trinity Sunday. I haven't brought up the Trinity once since talking about Voltron. Well, God the Creator is this authority. God the Creator is what has been. This idea of authority is what has been. And this authority has been given to Jesus. With what is. At the moment when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, the authority is in his hands. And he uses it to give clear instruction. Instruction not about belief, but about action. About what they are to do. So that was what has been, what is. And now let's talk a little bit about what will be. Matthew ends maybe differently than you think it ends. If you think that the end of Matthew ends with Jesus rising up into a cloud, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and the ascension of Jesus, then you'll be shocked to find out that that's not written anywhere in Matthew. It's written in Luke, it's written in Acts. Not saying it didn't happen, I'm just saying that Matthew doesn't mention it. What Matthew does end with is this. Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always. That is what will be. Jesus will be with you always. It's a nice bookend if you look way back to the first chapter of Matthew. Now, if you can stretch your mind all the way back to December, I know it's a ways. It was much colder then. But we talked about the angel visiting Joseph Joseph was worried because Mary was pregnant and it wasn't him, and he didn't want her to be in disgrace, so he was going to divorce her quietly. And an angel came to him and said, No. This is the will of God. Take Mary as your wife, for it will be fulfilled, this prophecy, that the virgin shall give birth to a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Elaine gets the first cookie at coffee hour. Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's the front bookend. The last bookend is Jesus saying, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is the Great Commission. But when we look at the word commission, it's actually two words, or two pieces of the word. Co-mission. This is not a mission that we do on our own. This is not a mission that we have to go out by ourselves. This is a co-mission. This is a mission that God does with us. That the presence of God is with us. The God that has always been. This Creator God. The God that where all authority comes from. This God is with us. This God that took the form of a human being in the person of Jesus, who lived and died and rose and lives again. This God, this Savior, goes with us. And the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit that is odd to comprehend, that is ungraspable, but so very real and feelable, the Spirit that is expanded upon in Acts, this Spirit is with us. What has always been is with us. What is with us. What will be is with us. If you take nothing else from this message today, I hope you take this understanding of the Trinity. That the Trinity is a way of seeing how God is with us. Has been with us. Is with us and will always be with us. This is the Trinity. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen.